This is the Happiness Quotient. If you like what you're hearing and enjoy this episode or any episode of the HQ, would you please be sure to subscribe to me wherever you may be listening? Because when you subscribe, you'll be notified next time I release another stellar episode with a stellar guest. People who inspire, that's what the Happiness Quotient is all about, inspiring others to go after their dreams. I never learned a thing being happy. That's what we have for you today, a guest who has truly followed his dreams. His name is Oliver Wood. He's a musician, a singer, songwriter, guitarist from the Wood Brothers, and he is here today to talk about his new solo effort called Always Smilin'. See, COVID wasn't all bad. A ton of musicians and recording artists invested themselves in projects that they almost definitely would not have been able to do if they were on tour, where the Wood Brothers find themselves for much of the year, at least pre-COVID. They're a little bit back at it now, and I talked to Oliver from a tour stop in Charleston, South Carolina. I first talked to Oliver last September, where he was at his home in Nashville. The Wood Brothers tour had been effectively shut down to zero. I learned later that in addition to trying out some new songs and jamming with friends, Oliver spent some time making standard breakfast for the family and dad spaghetti for the wife and kids. Dad spaghetti. Today, I'm going to play selections from the new album, Always Smilin', which we're listening to now, and weave tracks of the album throughout our chat that I had with Oliver today. Here's my June 8th, 2021 conversation with Oliver Wood, who is in Charleston, South Carolina, on a tour stop with the Wood Brothers to talk about his newly released album, Always Smilin'. All right, so first things first, I'm so psyched to talk to you about your new album, but how's the family? How are your kids? Everything good on the home front?
Yeah, everything's pretty good. Just everybody's getting used to doing things that they haven't been able to do in a while, and sort of dipping our toes into that little by little, and just like everybody else. But everyone's good. Thank you.
That's awesome. So this tour is pretty cool because you're on the road, but it's not like one of those monster things where you're just going and going. It's kind of like bite-sized chunks a little bit, right?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, we're dipping our toes in that way, too. We're playing a Wood Brothers tour right now, which is only about, a week and a half long, which is pretty manageable. And everything is outside and, no crazy indoor crowds yet, although that's what's supposed to happen in the fall. It feels good. It feels good to be out in the world.
Yeah, I saw some, you guys did that live performance video. This is going back a couple of months ago, and you were outside. I guess it was somebody's birthday party, but you didn't really see much of that. But you did seven or eight cuts, the Wood Brothers, that is, and it was interspersed by little vignettes, videos, and that was so good. And it really got me feeling like, okay, that live music is making its way back, and you cannot kill the spirit.
Yep, everybody needs it—the players and the listeners—and we all need that stuff. It's healthy,
no doubt. Oliver, tell me about your new album and what people can expect if they haven't sampled it yet. I'm blessed to have heard it many times through. I love it. And so tell me a little bit about it and how that came to be.
Well, my full-time gig is the Wood Brothers, and my other full-time gig is having a family at home. And so I generally just do not have enough time and energy to do anything besides those two things. I did start before the pandemic hit. I did start to make efforts to collaborate with some folks outside of the Wood Brothers, purely for the joy of it and for the connection. So just past and present musical friends, people that would come through town, I'd say, hey, let's write a song together, or let's go record something and just mess around, and just for the joy of it. And you know, we have such a good thing with the Wood Brothers, and it's all consuming, so it was really hard. But once in a while, I would just find time to do these little projects. And then, of course, and I had no intention of making an album, or not necessarily even releasing a song or anything. I was just writing to write, and recording to record, and just having fun with it. But yeah, then once the pandemic hit and we were locked down for a year, I came back to that stuff, and I found myself with a lot of time. We're usually touring so much that suddenly I have all this time, like everyone else. I have some time on my hands, and I just thought, well, I have these things that I started working on. I kept working on them. I finished them up, and I kept going. And I just kept writing things and working in the studio. And the Wood Brothers are blessed to have our own studio space, so I had a place to work that was near my house. And you know, thanks to the way life is these days, you can do things remotely. And but I also was able to have small groups of people in the studio with masks and distance and separation, and just basically decided midway through that pandemic that I might as well just make an album, because I might never have time to do that again. So it just happened. It wasn't super intentional from the beginning. It just became a little project, to a little goal, and something I had never done before by myself.
It's awesome. I love it. When I first interviewed you, I think it was September of last, which seems like it feels
Yeah.
like it was recent, but that's a long time
It
ago,
is a
man.
long time.
Jesus, I just kept thinking we're right at the edge of like emerging, and now it's June 2021. We played The Battle Is Over and Soul of This Town. Those were kind of your early releases when I think maybe I don't even know if you had known the album was going to happen yet. You were
No,
just like,
that was when I just had finished some of those early projects, and I was like, oh, what they I might as well put these out as singles, because otherwise they're just going to sit there, and might as well just get them out in the world.
yeah.
So that happened, and that went really well. That was really fun, and I was like, well, I'm just going to keep doing that. And then before I knew it, I had enough songs for an album, so it just made more sense to do that.
I didn't actually mean to kind of separate little tracks there, but Face of Reason is I hear that, and man, that thing, Soul of This Town, they all have soul, but like Face of Reason, man, just like
That's your jam.
there's a lot of them in there, but what is I had read somewhere that your wife had given you a slide, and it was a wooden one as opposed to like glass or metal. Did I get that story right? Is that the song that you wrote with that?
No, actually, that song is called Unbearable Heart. Excuse me. But I did play a lot of slide on the album. And you know, Face of Reason is a song that was so first of all, I want to say that, you know, calling this a solo album is purely by name. You know, it really was a series of collaborations outside of the Wood Brothers, is what it was. So all music to me, that's what makes music fun and special, is that you share it. Face of Reason was kind of a me reuniting with one of my all-time mentors, Chris Long. And Chris Long and I started a band, which was well before the Wood Brothers, called King Johnson, when I lived in Atlanta. And so he was sort of a big brother, musically speaking, and on tour. And he encouraged me. He is a great singer and songwriter, and he sort of encouraged me to start doing that stuff too, when we started our band together. So he was a big supporter and someone I was looked up to as a writer too. And so he and I, since King Johnson ended long ago, we still have gotten together occasionally to write songs. And so he's another guy who lives in Indiana. He comes through Nashville sometimes, and we just sit and see what we come up with. And Face of Reason was that was his seed right there. He's like, what do you think about this hook, you know, Face of Reason? That's, yeah, he's got a million of them.
Seriously?
So he came over, and we just sort of ran with it, and it became another cool one.
Will you gladly take your lumps each day they're handed out? Standing in the deserving line, you have no doubt. Walk the tightrope pine, you don't look down. And you're not at all surprised when you hit the ground. The fact that you're still breathing, well, it flies in the face of reason.
Yeah, back, I mean, I continue to, but sometime back when I first got into Wood Brothers, I did a lot of mining for King Johnson videos on YouTube, and there's some classics out there, like, you know, just really great wide shots of the band playing, and it's, you know, knowing your music much more than the guys in the band, it's pretty cool to see. It's almost like this natural progression. Not really, because they're different bands, Wood Brothers and King Johnson.
But it's definitely, King Johnson was where I think those were the most formative times for me as a player and as a writer. Just that group of people really influenced me a lot, you know. So, you know, your mentors are often just the people that you work with are influenced by every day, and that group of people really it gave me my musical foundation.
You know, it's funny. That just reminded me of a really cool interview I heard with Paul Osher. And obviously he's not alive anymore, but, you know, just an amazing bluesman and great harmonica player, played with Muddy Waters, as you probably well know, and really good guitar player. And somebody in, like, the interviewer said, like, how'd you get so good? Like, how'd you get so damn good at your music? And he just said, when you love something so much, you just, all you can do is just play, 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 play. And after a while, it's just as natural as, well, I don't know about as natural as breathing, but it's like walking. And I really loved that because when I saw Paulo Scher like 10 years ago or 12 years ago, 15 maybe even, and I was knocked off, my socks were like blown off. I couldn't believe that this guy just oozed it. And I'm telling you, like, I know you said this is a collaboration, and it's so obvious on this album, Always Smiling. It really is. Like, it's you, but, you know, you got the cut with Susan Tedeschi, who a lot of people know who that is. And having been a guy who's always would read the backs of albums and find out who plays this or who plays that, you've got, is it, how do I pronounce Ted's last name? Is it Peccio?
Ted Peccio on bass. Yep, he played bass in the whole
album.
Another guy that I go way back with from the Atlanta days.
Mm-hmm. So did Seth Walker poach him from you, or did it go the other way around?
I think Ted, it gets around, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he's always playing with somebody, so.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, as far as to the what you said about, you know, people just loving something, when you love something and you do it for a long time, I think, you know, not only do you get proficient in a sort of a technical way, but I think you also, your personality starts to get into the craft. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing to be technically proficient, but then what is it that's to me, that's not what sets you apart from you know, it's uniqueness. That's what any kind of art is. It's not really a contest of chops. It's more like who can, I think Thelonious Monk said, who could be the most, you know, the best artist is the one who's the most like themselves, or who you know, whose self comes out the most in their music. And think of all our musical heroes. Like, there's only one Muddy Waters or Levon Helm or Ray Charles, or, you know, it's just them, you know what I mean? And yes, they're very proficient, but they're so unique. And that's why it's amazing to me. Like, I feel like I'm still working on that, and it's getting better for me. And I'm in my 50s now, but it amazes me when you think back about somebody like a Hendrix or a Duane Allman, or people who were already seemed fully formed in their 20s.
Yeah.
Sadly, we lost a lot of them, right? They just were on a different timetable. But for instance, somebody like Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi, who I've both known them since they were teenagers and I was just a couple years older. You know, they've been doing it for a long time, as long as I have, and they just keep getting better and better and more themselves. Like, you know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, that's why I love that. I mean, John Prine at the end of his life was just such a one of a kinder, you know, and even more so than ever.
Save us. Yeah, Lord, why you gotta plague us? How we gonna last much longer? Lord, you could have made us stronger. Now we're lost in our love. Get the blues. Lord, can't you hear us? Dear Lord, maybe do you fear us? Yes, you're the great provider, but Lord, you could have made us kinder. Now we're lost in our love, waiting on you to come back home. get the blues. Get the blues. Oh, you're gonna get the blues.
And this crosses outside of music, in anything. I think individuality, it's that expression. You know, we grow up idolizing someone. I know you, and when we talked before, you brought up Ray Charles' name before. I'm sure you probably have sung thinking, if I could just belt it out like Ray Charles, man, I'm freaking there. And you have your own distinct voice, there's no question. But that's it. It's about people feeling comfortable enough and not worrying about necessarily the outcome of it. It's more that process. It's like, look, if people don't dig what it is I'm doing, that's cool. I don't need to be, you know, Ray Charles or the Beatles or something like that. So that shines through in the music that I listen to or the art that I look at. And that comes through in your...
Yeah, I think thank you. I think we all start off sort of as emulators where we admire and try to learn and copy, because that's how you learn. And I think what also happens is we all have limitations. Like, there's no way I'm going to sing like Ray Charles, but sometimes those limitations lead you down a path to find what your own, whatever your own voice may be. And that's cool. And I really like what you said about, you know, not thinking and certainly not worrying about if somebody likes what you're doing or not. And you know, all of us have insecurities about that. But I think at our best moments, we are not thinking about that at all. You know, whether we're performing live or whether you're climbing a mountain, it doesn't matter. You're in that moment, and the only thing that matters is doing it, right? I've had a lot of good discussions lately about, and a lot of interest lately in just a little bit about how the brain works when you're either performing or doing anything, when you're just living, but especially when you're creating something. There's this part of your brain that's very playful and childlike, and that's what you want. You don't want to, I mean, when you're worried about someone else liking what you're doing, you're basically judging yourself, and you're not present at that point, you know?
Right on. Right on. That's a slam dunker right there. Hey, so I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got a show tonight. I've kind of wanted to ask you about tone. For the guitar players out there, you have a tone, and part of it is the guitar you play. And I know you play an acoustic guitar. Then you've got the Guild T100, that your electric hollow body guitar. There's a real distinct sound. I'm not sure if it's because of the amplifier you play it through, the way you set it up, but it's when I hear it, I know it's you. That's So did like how did was that a King Johnson thing? Because you weren't necessarily playing that guitar with them, but did you? Was it trial and error? Was there a grittiness that you wanted? How'd you get to that?
Me, because it's peeling the paint. Well, I as far as the electric guitar tone, I think you hear people say, well, it's in your fingers for the most part. However, I have made a lot of conscious choices to find something that I liked and that I felt was a little bit my own. Back in the 90s when I was playing with King Johnson, and everybody, including myself, was playing Fender Stratocasters, which is one of the greatest guitars ever made. And but I kind of felt like I was lost in the crowd, you know? And so that's when I found this Guild hollow body electric. It's a thin, for those who don't know, it's a thin body, kind of almost like a poor man's Gibson, but it's a hollow body electric guitar with sort of cheap pickups in it, but it's a well-made guitar from the 60s. And it just had its own thing where you could sort of hear, it would feed back a little bit and you could hear the wood from the guitar just because of the hollowness and because the pickups were somewhat microphonic, and I had to stuff it with stuff so it wouldn't feedback too much. Anyway, I just have found, I think what most of us need is we just need something that's inspiring. You know, when you hear something that's inspiring, then you get in that zone we were talking about where you're just right in the moment. And that's when you play or write or improvise the coolest stuff, you know, as if you're inspired by that tone. So that guitar through a Fender amp was what I, through a Fender Super amp was what I played for years with King Johnson. And then when I started playing with my brother, we were doing sort of something more broken down. And my brother had these really cool little amps that were little K, a real cheapo little thing, but made of plywood. But, you know, by 60s standards, it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And something about that amp has a real little pawn shop. It sounds like a crappy little Marshall or something. So that has sort of over the years become a little bit part of the character of the sound too, is to kind of blend that in with a larger Fender amp. And then the rest of it, I think for all of us guitar players, the more we do it, I like to think I could pick up someone else's guitar and I'd still sound kind of like me just because of the way I and I feel like that with all my guitar heroes, you know, I can tell it's them no matter what they're playing. So I think, you know, we just have these habits and these moves and this vocabulary and this recipe of licks and ideas that sort of are, that's my vocabulary for better or worse. And that's the way it sounds.
And he's always smiling. I know a man and he's always smiling. It looks so easy, he could be flying. I know a man and he's always smiling. I said, how do you do it? You must lean into it. Is that smile for real or is that just how you feel? How do I find this way that you're living? He said, kindness, kindness is my religion. Kindness, kindness is my religion. And he's always smiling. But he never talks down. And he doesn't talk up. No, he never talks down and he doesn't talk up. Yeah, he needs no weapon. His weapon is love. He never talks down and he doesn't talk up. No. I said, how do you And do you lean into it? Is that talking for real, or is that just how you feel? Well, it blows my mind, this love that you're giving. He said, kindness, kindness is my religion. Kindness, kindness is my religion. Oh, kindness is my religion. I know a man and he's always smiling. He said once I was wishing for a better condition. It was pure intuition. What an easy decision, a cure for division. Who could deny this loving position? Well, come on and try this good traditional thing.
Yeah, so tonight you're in Charleston. You have a performance tonight
with and, the Wood Brothers. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then after your little short Wood Brothers tour, I think I'm going to see you in New Hampshire in early July. I'm excited for that. Yeah.
And yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Super stoked to come and see you.
Awesome. We'll have to link up for that.
Absolutely. And so who's on your solo tour? Do you have Ted with you? Who's your
band? Ted Pecchio on the bass, and John O'Ricks from the Wood Brothers also, who's playing drums and keyboards. And both of those guys are great singers as well. So we
amazing
do some harmonizing.
Amazing.
Yeah, hey, cool. Yeah, go ahead. Just to be able to play some of the new songs from the new album, and more music, more fun, more getting out in the world.
It's seeing people. There is a human race out there, and they've been waiting. We're all excited just to kind of stretch our toes into the soil. It's really good to be getting out there. So thank you for your time. Have a great show tonight.
Thank you. But, always a pleasure, man. And I look forward to seeing you in New Hampshire.
Longtime fans of the Wood Brothers need not worry. Oliver is fully committed to the Wood Brothers. They will be back with more soon. If you want to catch one of the Wood Brothers shows, they are going to be on tour for the next week or so, and then again beginning in August into September. Visit thewoodbros.com. And Oliver will also be touring to promote his solo album, Always Smilin', which we talked about in the interview today. He's coming to the New Shire in July. I'm pretty stoked to see him. Tour dates and music links and a bio about Oliver can be found at oliverwoodmusic.com. In the show notes, I'll have a detailed list of all the tunes played in today's episode. And as always, I need to thank the Wood Brothers and their management for the use of their song Happiness Jones for our new theme song here on the HQ, and to their publicist, Kevin Calabro, for helping make it all happen. And thank you, Oliver Wood and Kevin Calabro of Calabro Music Media, for the use of Always Smiling.
A young lover, as he loved him to death, he made it to heaven.
For more information about me, Tom Dharma Pollard, to inquire about personal coaching, public speaking in person or virtually, please visit me at eyesopenproductions.com. Write me anytime at tom.dharma.pollard@gmail. And if you want to do anything or anyone a favor, go to the websites of the Wood Brothers and Oliver Wood and buy some music there. That's the greatest gift you can give in return for their time on this podcast episode. I'm going to leave you with another stellar track off Oliver's album, Always Smilin'. Oliver, see you in July. Safe travels. Thank you for visiting the Happiness Quotient. I will see you all real soon.
Somebody tell me what's the reason nobody is satisfied. Jump around from one to another. Don't they know it gets cold outside? It's a fine line between love and lust, between truth and trust. Yeah, dreams and dust. Hope and a prayer, someplace and nowhere. Yeah, well, it's a fine line. Fine line. Yeah, we're walking it all the time. What's the reason everybody don't play by the rules? I can tell you one thing from season, one thing that I know is true. But it's a fine line between love and lust, between truth and trust. Yeah, dreams and dust. Yeah, it's a fine line between a hope and a prayer, someplace and nowhere. But it's a fine line. The reason everybody don't live their dream, I guess they just stop believing that it's easier than it seems. And it's a fine line between love and lust, between truth and trust.